Now I'm proud to select with the 9th pick in the 2020 draft from the Ottawa 67s of the OHL, Marco Rossi.
The biggest thing about Marco Rossi, there's a Johnny Gaudreau component to his game, but he plays with a little bit of bite. He plays with a little bit of edge. He's one of those guys that you love the pace of his game, and I think he's going to be able to make that transition to the NHL.
Ooh, that was a new hockeyism right there. Plays with a little bit of bite.
A little bit of bite.
Is that? That's the first time I've heard that, but that is a hockeyism right there.
I don't know if Judd's concerned or happy they got compared to Johnny Gaudreau, though.
The guy who was working with Pierre came in and shot Pierre down. Craig Button's like, no, you're a moron. He compares more to this player. Okay. No, he shot him down. So that was good to hear.
All right. Well, we'll dive into the Wild's potentially franchise-saving 19-year-old center or not, mm-hmm. or could just be a disappointment. We'll talk all about it. So write that down Wednesday on the show today. A quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated is on Twitter. If you're a business owner, it helps to follow Federated on Twitter. They give you free little tidbits and pieces of expertise in 280 characters or less at Federated INS. Fresh, relevant risk management content on a variety of topics like working in extreme temperatures, distracted driving, and more. Actually, this month's Risk Management Corner article addresses fire prevention. It's Fire Prevention Awareness Week now through October 10th, and this year's theme is Find Fire Before Fire Finds You. At Federated Insurance, remember that it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Well, we're extremely excited to have him. He was the guy that we have been targeting all along. You know, I think on top of his skill and his vision, playmaking ability, the drive that he has to be a great player is something that really, got us excited about this player. And like I said, we're really excited when we got him at the 9 spot.
Welcome into the show, Mackie and Judd. Write that down on this Wednesday where we make predictions and hold each other accountable. We're going to dive into also potentially the Twins, the front office that's been here now for 4 years or so, maybe their biggest mistake that's sort of on display right now for another team.
We like to call this topic the disgruntled employee, but we'll get to it.
Yep. But first off, the NHL draft was last night, and the NHL draft is, even when it's held during its normal time, is always a bit of a hidden gem sports, a gem for some people, a gem for
not,
you guys.
It's just hidden
for
really
guys
a
like
gem,
me.
Phil.
It's not really a gem.
It just sits there.
But
it's
last
okay.
night you had
like a gut ache.
You had the Major League Baseball playoffs. You had
last night was great.
The
night.
NBA finals last night.
All in on that. Too,
you had the
yeah.
WNBA finals clinched by Seattle last night, and then you had like whatever's on cable news leading up to the vice presidential election and the president having COVID.
Plexiglass.
So,
that's our big talker now. Well, are we going to have plexiglass? And we are.
We have it here. When we debate each other, we always have plexiglass. Yeah. Yep. But
and a lot of spittle flying.
Even though the NHL draft was buried beyond belief last night, the Wild did select 9th overall. They did select 19-year-old center. That's the key word here. Center, Marco Rossi. And so you guys have much more expertise on this than I do because you guys host Judd's Hockey Show, available on the Mackie and Judd feed as well. The biggest question here is Marco Rossi destined to be the number one center that this franchise craves and needs?
You absolutely have no idea.
That's a wrap on the segment.
He projects from the scouting reports that I was reading after he was taken last night. Right now, he projects as probably a second line center to start off with, if he can start off in the pros. And that's the big question because the jump clearly from the Ontario Hockey League where he was playing for Ottawa last year, and he did lead all of Canadian Hockey League's junior leagues in scoring with what, Dex? 130 points,
and I think he hit 120 in 56 games.
And that's ridiculous scoring rate.
And 81 assists, which is the key thing, which means that he is a playmaker slash facilitator.
He was a plus 69. Nice. He was a plus 69 last year.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Anyway, I would say this. I love the pick in the sense that they. Sounds like they addressed a position of not just need, huge need, like big time need.
Yep.
And they addressed it for the future. I think if you're thinking that they addressed it for 2021, which actually we found out last night is going to be the 21 season because it's going to start around January 1st, which means no Winter Classic here. But anyway, They've addressed a position of need for the future. I like what they're doing for the future, but this could go in the direction that Garrett's taken this team could go in a couple of ways. If they don't make a trade for a true top line center, and they might not going into the 21 season, like this could very well just be a gradual build of sorts because Kaprizov, we don't know, and he could be great in 2 years, but you can't expect him to step on the ice opening night and be great. Fiala, we need to see consistency from, right? This kid could be good, but he's 19 right now. So there's a lot of unknowns here, but there's a lot of things to like. And I'm going to go back to this continually. This is what I've been begging for. Just blow up the damn roster. Just get rid of the Koivus and the Dubniks and the Coils and the, you know, and the Zuckers and the Granlunds, Dex just said, and Nino, and just get rid of them and start anew. And that's what they're doing. Where it goes from there, I'm curious about. But you can't build a new house until you tear up the foundation of the old house. And that's what I think is the most important thing to keep in mind. I would definitely sign off on what Bill Guerin is doing here. Not 100% sure it works in the long term, but I love the effort.
Real quick, before Declan tells us how many Hart trophies Rossi is going to win, this was Rossi himself last night.
Yeah, it's a perfect fit. They need a center. I'm a center, and I'm 100% ready. And my impact is just going to be like my whole game. I compete really hard. My 200-foot game, play really good in defensive zone, offensive zone, and a really good playmaker who also can score goals.
I love the analysis. It's a perfect fit. They need a center. I'm a center.
I'm 100% ready. Famous last words, kids. Yeah. Slow down, okay?
No. That's great. I want him to say that. I don't want to hear the, well, if coach is ready for me to play, I'll work hard and be ready when my name's called, blah, blah, blah. No, he says, I want to play right now. I'm ready to play right now. I'm ready to contribute right now. This guy was prolific in the OHL. And even Scott Wheeler, NHL draft expert for now The Athletic, he said the Minnesota Wild won the first round of the NHL draft last night.
Don't go near that. No. Said, that's the bad. This is the worst luck you can possibly have.
The best value that the Wild, they won the draft in the first round. This is what he said. Rossi is ready to play in the NHL. He's a center. He's the most well-rounded forward in the draft, maybe even including Lafreniere. He's the best defensive forward in the draft, and he's one of the most driven kids I've ever dealt with in 7 years covering the draft. This is the guy they've always wanted. This is a center. I think he steps in right away and plays.
Have you guys looked at some of the... So my biggest question was, all right, like those numbers in the OHL are absurd. To score 120 points in 56 games, be a plus 69, 81 assists, like, all right, those are ridiculous. So my first question was, much like soccer leagues, is it the third best league? Is it the... And there's a website that has actually done this exercise, thehockeywriters.com, has the OHL as the 10th best league in the world behind college hockey. So college hockey, 9th. OHL 10th, the AHL is 8th, the Deutsche League is 7th,
nice.
The National League A is 6th, there's the Czech League, there's the Swedish League,
everywhere.
The Russian League. So it's not the Russian League.
Right.
But then I pulled up, all right, who else has sort of dominated? Like who else has scored like 120, 130 points in a season in the OHL? Patrick Kane.
Oh, they've had some great players. 2006, 2007. Yeah.
He scored he scored like 140 points.
Yep.
So a bit of a different level there. Okay. Well, who else? There's a bunch of guys from the 80s because like the 80s, nobody played goalie and they were just like shooting into a trash can. John Tavares. Is it Prince Tavares or Tavares?
Tavares.
John Tavares in 2006, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some names on here of guys that put up ridiculous similar numbers in the same league. Mark Savard. In 1994, 1995, put up a similar number of points. So when you put up that number of points, there is a translation to some of these guys do the same thing in the NHL. That was my learning exercise.
The one thing that they're going to have to be careful about, though, is to bring him along in the correct way. And by that, I mean they don't have they're going to, as the depth chart stands right now, they're going to go into the coming season without a true number one center at all. You don't want to force feed the kid that. So I would much prefer to see him be the second line guy, which is fine if he can play now, which is a tough thing. Like that's the one thing. Junior hockey, if you're dominant skill wise, you dominate.
Mm-hmm.
This is a league where if you're dominant skill wise, you get ragdolled. And so this is not to say he can't succeed, But I do think that the Wild is building this roster right now in a way that doesn't demand that anybody on opening night of next year who is younger has to step in and be great. Just make it gradual and growth. And I think Guerin gets this. I think Guerin spent a year watching this collection, and I do say collection with some disdain. And I think he watched this collection of players and was like, okay, first of all, off the ice, we don't have this right at all, right? Secondly, on the ice, defensively, we're good. Our goaltending stinks, and our forwards, we've got some, but not a lot. So I don't think that Bill Guerin is trying to hit some type of supersonic success button here. So I won't be surprised if the Wild does this right. And they had to get a player at this position. So I love the fact that this kid was prolific in juniors and is going to be given the chance here to be extremely successful.
If they nailed this pick, and I'll define nailed this pick by he's at least a really good second-line center and maybe even something more. All right, so if they nailed this pick, what does it mean for the franchise the next 5 years?
Next 5 years, it could mean a Stanley Cup. If they nailed it, if they nailed it and they continue to do this right, you can win a cup. Like, a cup is not out of your realm. 5 years, though. 5 years. 5 years is the most important thing. Yeah, why not?
What about you, Dex? If they nailed this pick, what does it mean?
It means you find a number one center. Because right now, if you're just looking on paper, like, I agree with Judd. I think something else is still in the works. Because if opening night was tomorrow, down the middle, right now, you have Marcus Johansson, you just traded for Eric Staal, Nick Bjugstad, Joel Eriksson-Ek, and now Rossi. Those are your four centers. And you know, there's some flip-floppers like Cunnin can play center if he wants to. Bjugstad and Johansson can also flip-flop from center to wing. So right now, I mean, you have a lot of youth and you have a lot of high-talent guys, but there isn't a lot of stability down the middle right now.
I don't think you have high talent. I think you've got people. And Bukestad's never healthy. Like the first time that he plays an entire year, congratulations, because that kid is always hurt.
But I will say, I'd rather take the chance on guys like Bukestad figuring out if he can stay healthy and be the player that he was in Florida.
Right.
I like Marco Rossi being a 19-year-old saying, I'm ready to come in and play. You're basically banking at these guys. There's another level to their game, and you're not going to go with the Staals and the Koivus of the world. Like, bank on this upside. I still think another trade happens that you get a really qualified, established NHL top six center. But I think if you nailed this pick with Kaprizov and Fiala, now you'd like the youth movement on offense, which is now the new thing in the NHL. The Wild are right there in the pack with the best teams.
And think about, like, you're a Wild fan out there, and this team was so much fun for like 4 or 5 years between 2012 and 2017, kind of like that window. And it was a great combination of hope. You had veterans who guaranteed that you were going to go to the playoffs, and you were hopeful that these young players could emerge. Mm-hmm. And then the last 3 years, it's just been this erosion, and it's been a lot less fun to watch. It's certainly a lot less hopeful if you're a fan. This provides some fun things to watch. It's a new hope for the next 3 to 5 years, and it provides you at least the idea that they could be pushing toward a Stanley Cup again, not necessarily this upcoming year, but that there's a roadmap to it.
And just don't be so damn joyless. This has been such a joyless collection in the last 3 years or so.
Like, yeah, it's true.
It's a fun sport, man. Like, look at the teams that win in all sports, but especially hockey. They have fun. They're drinking beer together, and they're having fun. And they're like, this has been, I can't tell you, Phil, the amount of times that Dex and I walked in that room after a loss. It was joyless. Like, it felt like literally they had spent 3 periods at the dentist, not on the ice.
It's funny because I think it's cliche to say that, like, a team takes on the personality of its coach or its leaders. But if you look at, and I've never been in that room, you guys have, but from what you guys explain, it literally sounds like, oh, that's Ryan Suter and Mikko Koivu. Just like super dry.
Or poor Zach trying to search for answers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can't do that. It's like, yeah, I know that. But, and like Staal, so Staal, who I think is a good guy, but Staal fell into the trap to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like he came here and it's like, oh man, I get a second chance and then had some success. And by the end, he was just in the, I don't know what happened tonight, mode.
I got to watch the film.
Yeah.
They were watching the film kind of guy.
That shouldn't be a hard thing to ask. Don't be so damn joyless. Like, enjoy what you're doing. You're hockey players. You're young. You're in the prime of your lives.
I love it. I love it. So that
could be a good pick.
Be fun to watch. Carlo Rossi is who I was hoping they would draft, so we could just pass the jug.
They were not taking
Carlo Rossi. Is a good secondary.
St. Cloud move.
Carlo
there.
Is not a first round pick, you guys. I'm telling you, it's a second day late round pick. The old man drank that wine, and it was seventh round wine. Okay?
Unless Carlo Rossi wants to join the Mackey and Judd show as a partner, in which case
first round pick, Carlo. Oh man, was I drunk last night?
We've got two first round picks: Corona Hard Seltzer and blank over here.
Love it.
All right. The other thing before we get to write that down predictions, we have to get to it. So last night, the Rays beat the Yankees. They held on for dear life. The Rays struck out 18 Yankees in that game. I watched pieces of it.
Oh my
God.
Dude,
the Giancarlo Stanton home run that went 458 feet.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Dong.
The way the ball comes off that guy's bat is different than any player I've ever seen watching baseball.
So that hit the back of the retaining fence there or wall. Like there was there was some type of wall way, way out of play. And it like bounced off of there. It was an incredible home run.
And I'm sure the Twins hitters are watching that last night thinking, what? I didn't even know that was allowed. You can hit a ball over the fence in a playoff game?
Sano pops that sucker to short.
Yep.
It is really disheartening watching, like, the Braves. You can just, every night you watch this, the Twins haven't scored more than four runs in a playoff game since 2004. 16 years, 14 games, they haven't scored more than four runs. And last night alone, the Marlins did it in a loss. The Braves scored 9. The Astros did it again. The Rays and the Yankees both did it. The Dodgers did it. Like, it ain't that hard
did
to put
you guys-
a five spot.
So I caught bits and pieces of all of the games yesterday. Did you guys feel in watching those games at times? And look, the Twins are good. I get that. So this is probably dealing in hyperbole from my part here. But did you have a feeling like the Twins weren't playing the same sport that those teams are playing? It felt like what the Twins were doing didn't translate.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels the Twins get super frustrated. They start slamming their bat in the third inning, which is funny because, well, we don't say nothing that happened before this year matters. Then why are you so frustrated in the second inning of a playoff game?
Touche.
Like if you're not thinking about all the other struggles that have happened before that. But the Twins front office, even though the Twins have been terrible in the playoffs, the Twins front office, since Terry Ryan was let go and Thad Levine and Derek Falvey came in here, they revamped the scouting department. They revamped the development departments. They brought in guys that you've probably never heard of, like Josh Kalk, to work with pitchers and maximize their pitch sets and things. And they've, by and large, been excellent as a front office. And there's not really that many big whiffs to point to. Like, they've made a couple questionable signings. I think Logan Morrison is probably one that you'd say, yeah, they'd like to have that one back. But there haven't been that many. There's not been like a David Ortiz situation or something. Well, last night,
there might be.
Well,
the Rays are trying to shut this Yankees lineup down, and Nick Anderson, who's from Brainerd, Minnesota, St. Cloud State.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I looked him up last night.
I believe he was drafted by the Brewers.
He transferred.
And he played three or four years in the Twins minor league system. The Twins wound up not putting him on the 40-man roster, and instead they traded him for Brian Scales. He's a minor league infielder.
It doesn't matter.
And he was a fourth round pick by the Marlins.
It doesn't matter what his name is.
He batted 182 last year in high A Fort Myers. Nick Anderson, meanwhile, struck out 4 Yankees in 2 clean innings in a playoff game last night. And Nick Anderson, as a Tampa Bay Ray this season, appeared in 19 games. He allowed 1 run and struck out 14.5 batters per 9 innings, throwing 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
He's also a regular guest on Doogie's Scoop podcast, if you ever want to hear him. So Nick Anderson has now pitched 80.
That's a real claim to fame.
It really is. Nick Anderson, between the Marlins and the Rays, has now pitched 81 1/3 innings out of the bullpen over the last 2 years. 15 strikeouts per 9 innings. And he's allowed a 2.77 earned run average. It's even better with the Rays the last 2 years. This is definitely one of the biggest mistakes, if not the biggest mistake, that this new Twins front office has made. So there haven't been that many stains. This is a huge stain for them.
Did you guys see his stuff last night?
Yeah, it's dirty.
I mean, first of all, whoa. Tyler Duffy, you're a nice pitcher, but you ain't this guy. And it's weird because Dugs has talked about this miss a lot because he first went
They traded him to the Marlins.
To the Marlins, and then he went to the Rays in a trade from Miami. I don't watch a ton of Rays baseball, and in the shortened 2020 campaign, I did not watch Rays baseball at all until the last couple nights, or last night, I should say. But, yeah, this is a – if you know pitching, I guess my question is this, and it's a sincere question. How did this escape?
So here's my theory on this. Right? Okay. Let me preface this by saying they got this wrong. So I'm not defending them.
I'd be very curious to hear what you think.
They got this wrong. But I think their logic in 2018 when they made this move was, and it wasn't like he was terrible in the minors and they just like, he was great in the minors for the Twins and he struck everybody out and he still threw hard. And so it was kind of puzzling when you look at, wow, this guy is like lights out and they just sort of traded him for, I think their logic was he's a reliever. He's 30. So he was 28 when they traded him. It's not like he's 23. He's already 30 years old. Mm-hmm. They looked at him and said, he's already 28. He's a reliever. We have a chance to get a former fourth-round pick who's 21 years old at the time in this Brian Shales, who plays second base, third base. He's an infielder. So in general, if you can trade a reliever for a position player, you should be looking to make moves like that. Like when the Twins traded Matt Capps for Wilson Ramos for Matt Capps, that's sort of the opposite of what you want to do. You don't want to trade franchise catchers for relievers. If you can cultivate relievers, and the Twins have shown an ability to do so, it makes relievers more expendable if you can get, harder to find positions. So I think that was their logic. And they would also say, well, I mean, yeah, we lost out on Nick Anderson, but we can just go take a Matt Whistler off the scrap heap and turn that guy into a stud reliever. Matt Whistler had like a 1 ERA this year. So they would kind of say, yeah, it'd be nice to have Nick Anderson in the bullpen, but in general, if we can trade minor league relievers for fourth round pick position players, that's the better long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. It's just that in this case, he would be your best reliever.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be particularly close, I don't think.
No.
Like his stuff is electric.
He's better than Tyler Duffy.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Duffy's really good.
Yes.
He's better than Taylor Rogers. He would just flat out be your best reliever.
I guess my response, if they said to me what you just did, Phil Mackey, I guess my response would be that's well and good and that's fine unless you're talking about guys with stuff like this. And then I think you were paid to cultivate them, find them, and keep them.
Yeah, and that, now does age come into play here? Do they look at the time he was 28 years old and they said, all right, well, by the time he gets acclimated to the major leagues and if it goes quick and it has, he'll be 30. And so if we can trade a guy that's not going to help us till he's 30 for a guy that we can incubate as a 21-year-old at third base or something.
Yeah,
I get the logic. But again, like if they had known he was going to be this good, they never would have traded him. And all the signs in the minor leagues pointed to him being this good.
Okay, but so that's where I'll stop you and say then I don't get their explanation. Like, I get the overall philosophy that you're talking about, but in this case, it's one where I would say, yeah, but if you look at the stuff, and it's not like he left the Twins and then took off completely, because that does happen. I understand that one. But yeah, watching him last night, I was just like, man, he would be easily your best bullpen arm.
The other funny thing, so you brought up fielding independent pitching on the show yesterday. It's FIP, and it's basically what your ERA should be if everything else was neutral. If defense was neutral, if like playing in Coors Field was neutral, that's what FIP is. It kind of tells you like if a guy has a 2 ERA and a 5 FIP, it'll tell you, he's probably getting a little bit lucky. If you were to play this out, it would regress back to 5. So his expected ERA this season is 1.35.
Oh, he's a bust then. Forget it. Sorry. Sorry. I was
Think
all
about
wrong.
That. Yeah. That's absurd.
Yeah.
So now would Nick Anderson have made a difference in that 2-game debacle against Houston? I don't know. Like, do they turn to him instead of Cody Stashak or something?
Well, no, the problem
does
Duffy
is come in instead
Rocco
of Stashak?
Wouldn't. No, Rocco wouldn't. That's the problem. This is why I'm so concerned.
Can you play shortstop? Can you field a ground ball?
Might need to play third base.
Well, he's got a cannon for an arm. So, yes, the answer to your question, if this were Legion baseball, Declan, is absolutely could play shortstop.
So, yeah, Nick Anderson. And he's one of us, man. Dude's a Minnesotan.
He's Declan's best buddy, basically.
Yeah, go Huskies,
St. Cloud State, red carpet.
He technically graduated from Augustana, I believe. And so he transferred after his sophomore year. He wasn't there when I was there. He had some he had some trouble in his past, and he had to get out of St. Cloud. I remember listening to the Scoop podcast,
He went to Mayville State at
Mayville,
one point, too.
Mayville, so I think that's where he graduated.
He had some trouble in his past.
Everybody has a little bit of trouble at St. Cloud.
Sounds like Declan's life.
It's like
a bit troubles.
The moment I graduated, I was in my car 6 hours later, and I haven't been back since. That's in here.
You've
I
never
am.
Been back?
Oh, I mean, I've gone back.
I was going to say, I'm sure you've been back to the bars.
But no, I had no
herbs and gerbs.
It is a champion drinking town. Yes. I will give St. Cloud State that.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I can confirm, and I'm old.
So that's the one that got away for the Minnesota.
It is weird, though. I'll say that. It's odd.
Real quick, I got his minor league numbers here, too. Just so you can know, like, oh did you see something? His last year with the Twins, AAA, all right?
Just going to keep barrr, yeah.
He had a 330 ERA in AAA, so he wasn't quite as lights out. But he had 88 strikeouts in 60 innings.
Yeah, okay. I'm more confused than
ridiculous.
Ever. I want answers, damn it. Derek?
Let's call up Thad. Bitch him out for this. There's other things I would be more curious about than this when it comes to, like, Twins questions, but this is definitely
radio. Yeah.
All right, let's get to some predictions.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd with Rami. This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write this down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
It's Write That Down with Mackie, Judd, and Rami.
Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that then.
Welcome in to the only segment in sports talk that actually holds each other accountable for the things that we predict and say. This segment is called Write That Down, and here's how it works. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable in some form. Ideally, they have an expiration date as well, so we can avoid the Larry Brown fiasco. That
is not a fiasco.
It's a fiasco.
No, it's not. People die. It just takes a long time sometimes.
I saw some article that, like, there was a Larry Brown was hospitalized with COVID or something. It was a different Larry Brown.
Oh.
I don't know if it was like a politician or something.
It's entirely possible.
So they must be quantifiable. Ideally, they have an end date of some kind. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And if you, as a listener, would like to participate in this segment, you can shoot me a DM on Twitter, at Phil Mackey. Even if I don't follow you, my DMs are open. Whether you want to be a part of Write That Down or you just want to, I don't know, if you want to complain about something or tell me I'm an idiot, you can just DM me, at Phil Mackey.
Larry Brown, by the way, only 80, okay? So he's a young man. He's
high
a
risk.
He's a young man. He's a young, he could coach again.
I would say it's more likely he expires than coaches again at this point.
Look,
throw it out there.
Who's to say a team won't get desperate? Okay.
In fact, I might counter your prediction today by just predicting.
Oh.
all these years later.
Write this down.
I want that point. So, all right. So today's guest listener predictors are going to be Mike and Sam. So we've got our linebacker crew here today. It's great. Mike and Sam.
Well played.
Wow.
See what
well
I did
played.
There?
Well played.
So we'll get to you guys in just a second. Let's get Will on, and then we'll have all three of them. It'll be really fun. Just some football jargon there. Let's get to the accountability session first, though. Let's get to Judd.
Oh,
batting
wow.
average leader Judd Zulcan.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. This was a bad week. This was a bad week. Dex, I wouldn't get too cocky.
That's fine.
Get too cocky.
If you're coming down with me, you're coming down with me.
All right. Judd Zulgad predicted that you were excited about this one at first last week. You said the Titans and Steelers
never
game
play again.
Will be played on Sunday or Monday. And then, like, right after our show was over, it got moved to Monday, but then it just got moved entirely. You said Kenta Maeda will no-hit an opponent through seven innings and then be lifted from a postseason game.
He couldn't even get to seven because of Rocco being too scared.
Wasn't his fault. You said Byron Buxton will be MVP of the World Series.
Home run.
Then, like, a few months later, you then predicted the same thing. You said Byron Buxton will be the World Series MVP in 2020. Ordinarily, we would have spotted that and made you change the prediction. We didn't.
That's fine.
So you just get it wrong twice.
That's fine.
You said the Vikings will have fans at their third home game of the season. They've announced that there will be no fans in that Atlanta game next week.
You are correct.
You said Berríos will win the Cy Young Award and start game one of the World Series.
Oh, man, a big swing.
You said Kenta Maeda will win at least one game in the playoffs out of the bullpen.
Oh, that was at
the beginning?
After they acquired him, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you said Max Kepler will be named MVP of the 2020
World Series. Yeah, that was a terrible prediction. Among all these predictions, that was easily the dumbest.
But here's the bad news for Declan. There's a page two for Judd. And it includes a lot of green.
God. Oh, wow, Declan. See what we have here? This is called one's comeuppance.
Judd Zulgad said Jose Berríos will start. This is when he was struggling, that he will start in the first round of the MLB playoffs.
Yes!
But the Wild will trade Devin Dubnyk this offseason.
God, do I swing a lot. I just swing so much.
That the NFL will have at least diagnosed two players with COVID and will not stop playing.
Yes!
Shoot your shot. That's what I do.
And that Mikko Koivu will not be back with the Wild next season. Judd Zulgad.
Let me clean those cleats off, boys.
Starts the game 0 for 9 and says, give me the ball.
Give me the ball. Yep. I shoot my shot.
Next one.
Some guys do it in dating. Some guys do it in write that down.
Declan, you can learn a lot from Judd here.
In your personal
life. And
Yep.
Shoot your shot. Life, predictions. And there's another topic. So we don't get
all right. What's the term? Shooters got shoot. What I do?
Shoot or shoot.
I shoot. I'm Jimmy Butler.
Last year's defending, reigning batting average champion, Jonathan Harrison.
Snookered us all.
It's a rough week for him. By the way, he's been hosting still pre-half and post-game for Minnesota United games on Score North, and so I run into him last night. He would like to come in and at least have a chance to make some predictions before the end of the year, so we might have to get Jonathan on.
No reason why he can't.
Yeah, no, Jonathan, if you're listening, you will not be able to predict all of the bowl games again like last year, which is how he won.
We were idiots.
So he said the Twins will play the Yankees in the ALCS and will beat them in five games. He said the Lakers will make the playoffs as a one seed. This is a parlay, which they did. He said LeBron James will be named Finals MVP, which he probably will, but that the Lakers will lose just two games the entire playoffs. I think they've lost four, if my math is right. He also said the Twins will sweep the Yankees this season and in the playoffs. And even though they haven't played the Yankees, I think this one has to be wrong.
It does.
Because they didn't sweep the Yankees.
It's wrong.
Yep. So that's an 0-for-3 for Jonathan Harrison. Manny Hill said the next NFL season will be the final season for Bill O'Brien as the GM and head coach of
Bravo,
the
Manny. Bravo, nice Manny job, Hill.
Dude. Good foresight. Rami Makhlouf said the Twins will win the division and go to the American League Championship Series. Well, they won the division, but that was a parlay, so got to get them both right. And we'll just skip past me, we'll just go back to Rami there.
What happened?
This is bad.
This is bad.
This is really bad.
Not if there's a page two for you.
I feel like the second half of my season is like one of those Brian Dozier second halves where he just hits like a .150. And
but
strikes it every
some
time.
Some bombs involved,
mostly in 10-1 games.
Sure,
yeah,
that's still a bomb.
I said Josh Donaldson will be at the center of at least two bench clearing incidents for the Twins this season.
You meant internally with his own teammates
and with his manager, with umpires. And
yes, yeah. I know what you meant.
I said Josh Donaldson will homer against the Yankees in the postseason. I said the Twins will play in the World Series this year. I said, in that World Series, Kenta Maeda will strike out a Dodger. I said the Twins will win the World Series in 2020. I said Donaldson will be the MVP of that World Series. I said Jose Berríos will throw a no-hitter this year. Donaldson will hit a home run in his first postseason at-bat.
Bring rain.
Buzzer.
The Vikings will start 0-5. And Luis Arraez will have at least two hits in Game 2.
However?
There is no however.
No.
There's no page two? As page two? Paul Harvey?
There is no page two. That's the only page for me.
And now you know the rest of the story.
I used to love Paul Harvey.
That was Phil Mackey. And now you know the rest of the story. Good night.
All right, listeners, Justin in Rochester said the Twins will not knock the Yankees out of the playoffs, the low-hanging fruit. Nice job, Justin.
That's a really good interpretation of the rules of this game.
Dan C. said Jose Berríos will be the 2020 World Series MVP. Bryce said the Twins will beat the Dodgers in seven games in the World Series. Josh said the Twins will win the World Series this year. Teague had all these sort of tie-ins to like the 2006 Twins. He said in 2006, Nick Punto, the third baseman for the Twins, had 28 extra base hits. Donaldson will have more extra base hits than Punto did in 2006 in a shortened season. Well,
didn't play enough to even come close.
And Alex said Rich Hill will have more playoff appearances than regular season. appearances. Actually, we have more. We have more carnage for listeners. Nick and Blaine said the Twins will be knocked out by the Yankees in the 2020 postseason.
My sports son.
That's what happens.
Ben said Buxton will get a triple, his first triple of the season at Petco Park in the playoffs. I'm pretty sure that their series would have been played at Dodger Stadium anyways.
You are correct. So, yeah.
Ben said the ALCS will feature a matchup between two AL Central teams. Matt said the Lakers win the finals in four. Matt also said the Twins will win game two by three or more runs and hit three or more bombs.
Woof!
Carnage!
The AL Central also in these playoffs was just atrocious.
The NL Central was more atrocious,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is bad.
Didn't all, what a four joke. All four teams
were. Cubs, Reds.
Cleveland got swept in two, right? Twins got swept in two, and the White Sox won.
They forced three.
They forced three, but they won one. So basically, I think the record was 1-6.
In the NL Central, Reds got swept.
Brewers.
Cubs got swept.
Brewers got swept.
Brewers.
Same.
And Cardinals.
Oh,
got beaten three.
Oh, wow.
Oof.
Congratulations.
Declan Goff, you said the Miami Marlins will advance past the Cubs in the wild card round. Speaking of.
Yes!
The Vikings would beat the Texans on Sunday.
Yes!
You said Buxton will hit a leadoff home run in a postseason game. And the Twins will play the Yankees in the playoffs. So a nice little 50-50 for
a lot of buzzer
there.
A lot of buzzer today.
And that gets us to our updated batting average standings. Judd Zolgad, after all of that, drops just 1 point in his batting average from 424 to 423 with three bombs. Rami is
volume predictor, boys. That's what I am, a volume predictor.
Rami is hanging tough at 393 with a home run. Declan is sitting at 361 with a home run. I'm all the way down to 275 with just two home runs. The listeners are all the way down to 214. I think they were at 270 at one point. John Harrison at 176 with a couple of bombs. Manny Hill up to 175 with one home run. So it's still, I would say, mathematically, the listeners are going to have a really hard time. I would say Rami can still win. Declan can still win. I have an outside chance, but Judd Zolgad looking good here.
Your arbitration hearing is not going to go well at this point, Phil.
Nope.
Well, I mean,
when you take these in, they're going to be like, yeah, but look at your second half.
You know, I do have some queued up that I think are going to come to fruition still, including there was a Lakers. There was a three-item parlay with the Lakers that I think is going to come to fruition.
Are you going Cousins? Just when all hope is lost, you come back?
Over to Cousins?
I made a Lakers prediction. I think the Lakers prediction was, it goes back to like before free agency last year. I said they would trade for Anthony Davis. They would win at least 50 games in the regular season, which I believe they barely did, even in the shortened season.
Okay.
And they'll win the championship.
Okay.
And so that would be a home run.
Home run. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Tie you there.
Way to go, Kirk.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Dex, all fire up. I think we got Sam here. What's up, Sam?
Oh, not much. Just ready to make some predictions.
Hell yeah.
Love it.
And then let's get Mike on the line here, right?
Mike, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right.
All right, sweet.
All right, we'll start. We'll do it this way. We're going to go Sam, Mike, Judd, Declan, back to me.
Got it.
In that order, okay? So Sam, Mike, Judd, Declan, back to me. I'm writing that down too, which is why I'm repeating it. Sam, are you here to raise the listener batting average from 214 to something higher, or are you here to raise the home run total?
I'm here to have fun. I can't promise either.
Both teams played hard.
Very Minnesota sports fan of Sam right there.
All right, Sam, you're leading off out of the gate. Just make sure that your prediction is quantifiable in some way.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Yeah, so I went ahead and named my predictions. You say, Mackie, that you are writing down
Declan is.
The predictions, or is Declan is?
I am.
Okay, so this one is called Declan Does That Hockey.
okay.
Jake Lucchini played hockey at Michigan Tech at the same time that I attended school there. After spending a season and a half in the AHL, he signed an NHL contract with the Montreal Canadiens last week. Write this down. Jake Lucchini will record his first career NHL goal within the Canadiens' first five regular season games in the upcoming season.
I like it.
Wow.
I like it. Little pro-provincial.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right. Actually, there's a little bit of feedback coming in through Sam's. Am I able to just put Sam on hold?
I think you're good here.
Okay. Mike, are you swinging for the fences or are you swinging for seeing eye singles? Hold on, Mike. We can't really hear you.
Mike, you there?
Is that better?
Still pretty muffled, man.
Yeah.
that?
That's pretty quiet. Are you on your speaker or on your car or something?
No, I'm not, actually.
Okay.
Hmm.
Here, try this. Actually, try this now. Go ahead. I think this is it. I think I fixed it.
Is that any better?
Yes,
there we go.
There we go. All right.
I got you.
Look at that.
That was me.
Look at us. By the way, for those who aren't really like able to see us behind the scenes, I believe this is like a 30-year-old mixing board. Yeah. We have taken like a 1991 Plymouth Acclaim and we have tricked it out into like a YouTube Ferrari here. Mm-hmm. But there's still some things that make it tough. So, all right, Mike, fire away.
All right. Well, since the Vikings needlessly won a game last Sunday and they ruined our tank for Trevor, oops, I still think Rick's going to go for it this year. And I think the Vikings are going to draft Trey Lance in the first round.
Woo!
I like it.
Somebody was fighting with me on Twitter about, because I had put the tank for Trey hashtag out last night when I saw the announcement, and somebody was like, well, how do we know if he's going to be good? I don't really care. Like, he makes $30 million, he'll make $30 million less, and he's mobile, so you can build the rest of your roster with the idea that he might become a franchise quarterback.
And one of us.
And kind of one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to Judd.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Marc-Andre Fleury will be with the Wild next season. Goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury.
How old is he now?
35.
In his 30s, yeah. But he will be with the Wild next season in Danette.
See what you did there.
Uh-huh.
I see what you did there.
I speak his language.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it. Okay. Declan?
Write this down.
There will be at least 55 points scored between the Vikings and Seahawks on Sunday. There will be at least 55 points scored between the Vikings and Seahawks. Write that down.
Do we have an over-under for that?
For
that game? It's got to be around 50.
I got to imagine so.
I would hope it is. Seahawks might score 50 by themselves.
Yep. Yeah.
Actually, we're going to do a deep dive into Vikings, Seahawks, and the quarterback matchup on Purple Daily today. So go check out Purple Daily, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, the all-new ScoreNorth.com.
That's right.
We just revamped our website yesterday.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, write this down. I don't think I can say this fully because he asked us to keep this on the down low for now. But I will predict, you guys know like what I'm about to predict. Our friend Rami has a chance at a really cool job. I will say Rami will get hired either full or part time for that particular establishment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he will get, and I don't have any inside information. We were all on the same text thread yesterday.
Yep.
All right. Rami will get a full or part-time job. I'll say sometime before the end of 2021, just to put an end date on it.
Okay.
At that particular place.
Okay.
And you'll know, Chippendale, following our friend Rami, he will, I'm sure, make this announcement. He's getting an opportunity.
Yep. Chippendale dancer extraordinaire. He's lost some weight. He's looking good. He's got the thong on. The ladies love Rami. It's all coming together for him.
I break it down.
It's all coming together for him.
Yep.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Sam.
Yeah, this one is called the thing that comes off the board this week. Of all games played during week 5 of the 2020 NFL season, no matchup will result in more points than the Minnesota Vikings at the Seattle Seahawks.
I love it. Just a couple of sieve defenses so far this year. Those defenses,
you guys are wrong.
Those defenses are both allowing over 6 yards per play this season. Like the average play results in a 6.5 yard gain when you put these two defenses.
It's going to be a long game on Sunday then.
It's going to be fun.
We could be there for a few hours.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, back to Mike.
All right, I've got a 3-item parlay here.
Ooh.
So with all of the rule changes in Major League Baseball this year and the way that it seems to have been liked by everyone, I think they will, next season, they will adopt the DH in the National League, they will start all extra inning games with the runner on second, and they will keep the 8-team playoff format.
I'm here for it. I'd rather it be a 7-team playoff format, so you're at least awarding like a first-round bye to the best record or something.
But is damn near certain, right?
Has to be at this point. I would think it has to be. I would agree with all those things. Now, what might give Major League Baseball some pause is the ratings for the first round of games was just a disaster. Like they had games under 1 million viewers for the first round.
Write it down. You like writing things down. Write this down.
All right, Judd Zilgan.
Adam Gase, Matt Patricia, and Dan Quinn will be fired either during or after this season, Declan. So Gase, Patricia, and Dan Quinn will all be fired and here's the key, either during or after this season.
And just to quantify the after part, because after could technically mean in 5 years from now. Can we say within the first month of the season ending
sure,
or something?
Off season, yes. The beginning, yes. The beginning so
before
of
the league year
the
starts
off-season.
Or something.
Yes, that's absolutely fine. Okay. I just have to cover myself because I think one or two of these guys might get blown out during the course of this year as well.
I think you had one last year that you said like so-and-so was going to get fired after the season. They got fired in like week 10 and you get it wrong.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was trying to guard against that.
Yep. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Listen, this is the write that down computer database doesn't sense intent. It just senses what you're inputting into it.
And it should. It should. It's right.
All right, back to Declan.
All right. Marco Rossi will be in the Wilds lineup on opening night when the next NHL season opens.
Love it.
So Marco Rossi will be in the Wilds lineup on opening night when the next NHL season opens.
Nothing to lose, right?
I really don't.
And if he sucks for 2 weeks, cool. Yep. You go to Iowa.
I get to write that down.
Sharpen
point.
Your
it
skills.
Works. Yep. Yep. Doesn't matter.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Write this down. Eddie Rosario will not be in a Twins uniform for the start of the 2021 season. I think the Twins are going to get rid of Eddie Rosario via trade. I don't think they would non-tender a guy that drove in like 100 runs 2 years ago.
Right.
But I think they're going to try and find a trade partner.
You never know, do you?
You never know.
It could be. This is the one year where just because of cost and teams taking a bath financially, they could just like elect to not want to pay $10 million for a corner outfielder. And it's possible no one wants to trade for a corner outfielder that makes $10 million because they're all trying to cut money, too.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Sam, your final prediction.
Okay, this one is called Minnesota Forverts, and it is a parlay. Stephon Diggs will be named to his first Pro Bowl team this NFL season. Tyler Johnson will record his first NFL touchdown before or during this season's matchup between the Buccaneers and the Vikings.
Wow.
Rashad Bateman will repeat as Big Ten Wide Receiver of the Year, and Justin Jefferson will be named Offensive Rookie of the Month at least once this season.
I love this.
That's great.
Four verts. Love the creativity there. That's a home run. All those things seem like they could happen, but if they all happen in a parlay, it's a home run for sure.
Let me make sure I got this right too, Sam. So you said Diggs will be named to his first Pro Bowl. Tyler Johnson will record his first touchdown by the Vikings and Buccaneers game. And Bateman will win Big Ten Wide Receiver of the Year, and Justin Jefferson wins Rookie of the Month.
Yes.
Okay.
Love it. Cool.
That's really good, man.
Man, Sam, since you've got this platform, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank getting you to this moment?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to the moose at the Minnesota Zoo, a big part of my formative years, and really is what the Wild should have been named after back in 2000.
Totally
agree. And I'm just assuming that he's a fan of the show.
Totally agree with that moose take. The Minnesota the moose is just name. A much better name.
Yeah.
Much better name. Did another wild trade come across here?
It did.
Let's do this right now. We'll interrupt for just a second.
I don't like this.
All right, what's the trade? Breaking news all over here.
The Wild will trade Luke Cunningham and the 101st pick to the Nashville Predators for Nick Bonino and the 37th and 70th pick. That is a big trade. I don't like that at all.
Here's my first impression of this. It must mean that they love what they could get with the 37th pick, right? That's a second round pick. They must love the top half of the second round.
Well, and here's your established.
It's for this year, right? The 37th pick tonight.
And here's your established center. But Bonino's 32 years old.
But that might have been. Is it possible that the Wild really, really love what's on top of the second round in the draft here?
Maybe.
And Nashville saying, cool, you got to take our 32-year-old and give us something.
It's possible. I need time to digest this. This is not the kid that I thought that they would trade. I thought Greenway would get moved, not Cunningham. So I'm a little bit surprised that Cunningham got moved. But I need time to go through this trade.
And Bonino is a center, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This basically, to me, what this does is it speeds up the timetable of where Guerin wants this club to be a little bit, and I think that takes a little bit more analysis. Declan's very upset. I'm calm. I'm taking the plane. I'm going to fly it.
I like what Guerin's doing. I love he's just shaking everything up.
Oh, he does not.
You take the tree, baby.
Yeah, that was his goal.
Don't trade a 22-year-old for a 32-year-old, especially one of the guys that's the most core of your young group. I hate this.
Unless you love the second round.
They weren't as high.
I hate this.
It became quite clear that they weren't as high on Cunningham as a lot of us had been, Declan. That's what's blatantly obvious here. So.
Okay.
Sam, thank you. Great predictions. And we're hoping that your four verts in particular comes to fruition. Let's go back to Mike here. Your final prediction, Mike. Fire away.
Write this down.
All right. Since Minnesota sports fans, we don't have a whole lot to cheer about in the playoffs. Out of the four major sports men's teams, so the Wolves, Twins, Wild, and the Vikings, the Minnesota Timberwolves will be the first team to advance in the playoffs out of the four.
Wow.
Okay.
That takes some guts right there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. I mean, if they add a third superstar, I think it's in the, and they get like the fifth seed or something.
Right.
That seems very far away. Mike, you also did an awesome job. Is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank for getting you to this point here?
I would like to thank my wonderful fiance for putting up with me on a daily basis and for turning me on to seltzers.
Attaboy.
Oh, there it is, man. Yeah, this show is powered by Corona Hard Seltzer, and we recommend all four flavors in four verts
form. In four verts fashion.
That's exactly. Mike, Sam, thank you guys. Great predictions.
See you, boys.
Say goodbye to those guys real quick. And we go back to Judd for his final prediction.
Write this down.
Oh, man, it's traded.
Yeah, I'm disheveled right now.
It's shaking me up.
I mean, like
Cunnin was, he's a first round pick. How highly touted, though, has he been?
He was perceived to be captain material, but it became really clear that Guerin didn't like him as much as the previous regime did. And I think the fan base thought, because of, to go back to what you just said, the fact that he was a first round pick, I think the fan base thought that he was not a sure thing to be a star, but a sure thing to be a solid player. This doesn't come as a complete shock. I just thought Greenway would be the guy that Guerin traded, because Greenway, who's got a ton of talent, drove him up the wall.
So this is, again, this is my amateur hockey observation here, but if you were a first round pick center and you've played large chunks of three seasons in the NHL, I feel like you should have more than 23 goals in 131 games.
Yeah, I mean,
he
had a pretty bad leg injury that rookie year. That took him a while to get back. And last year, he started to shoot the puck more. He scored 15 goals in 63 games. Like, you map that out, that's a 20-goal score over 82 games at 22 years old. I just think it's a pretty big mistake to trade away a 22-year-old with upside like that for a 32-year-old established center who was a UFA after 2021, but I don't like that at all. And I've been for Guerin shaking it up, but I don't like that.
This guy was more probably long-term a wing, though. In Cunnin.
Yes.
So that devalued him, I think, in Guerin's eyes.
Okay.
This speaks to me of being a trade where this sort of clears up what Guerin's timetable is, and it's probably quicker than I think it has to be. Like, I think if you had gone in with a guy, if you had gone in with a center that you didn't love next season and it hadn't been great, but you tried to wait to obtain it, that guy, there's a patient play here. And you know what? Guys like Guerin are not necessarily patient. It's that simple. So
this is in the weeds here, and we'll get back to our final round of predictions here. But if you care about hockey analytics, so there's a stat called point shares. It's a little bit like win shares in other sports, but kind of gives up credit for, like, if your team scores 95 points in a season, or is awarded 95 points for wins and losses, how do you divvy that pie up?
Right.
And both Cunnin and Bonino played almost exactly the same amount of games last year. Bonino, the last couple of years, has been a 4-point player. Cunnin was a 2.5-point player last year with some upside. So I don't know. I'll lean on you guys for this, but
write it down. I need more time, damn it.
Write
I need
this
more
down.
Time. We'll do a full breakdown tomorrow.
I need more
sure.
time. All right. My final write that down for this week is this one. Byron Buxton will play in 120 games or fewer for the Twins next season, which is obviously not good.
And it's a bunt.
Byron
Buxton. It's a bunt single, yeah.
Yeah, it's getting to be late in the year. I need to
pad your batting champion in.
Keep in mind, too, that this prediction won't come off the board until next year. So it's not a bunt at all. I'm tracking a pitch here, okay?
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Right, say Declan. What you guys will.
Okay.
Sammy.
Justin Jefferson will have a touchdown against the Seahawks, and he will have a catch of at least 20-plus yards. I'm not saying they're going to go hand in hand. They could go hand in hand, but they are separate things.
Okay. I like where you're going.
Write this down.
All right. Final prediction of the week. I hate to do this, but Larry Brown will expire before he coaches again.
Wow.
Expire before he coaches. Okay. So he dies?
Larry Brown.
That's what expires
will
means.
Expire before
so
he
you
coaches
just,
again.
We just went there. We just went, write that down, just dealt with death.
Well, I was trying to couch it a little bit by using the word expire.
I wasn't fooled. Like, wow. Write that down. Just went to a very dark place, a very 2020-like place.
Love me some Larry Bryant. He's living a fulfilling life.
80 years old. He's had a great run. No question.
Write it down. You like writing
You are
things
now
down.
Banking on a man. This has become a death pool.
Oh, man. It kind of has. All right. That's a wrap on Write That Down. Every single Wednesday, we make predictions and hold each other accountable.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Woo! Patrick Roycey, what was your favorite Luke Kunin highlight with the Minnesota Wild?
Did he play last year?
He scored 15 goals last year. Now he's on his way to Nashville.
Hey, so I know we had the hots for him a couple of years ago. I gotta admit I wasn't terribly focused last season, and then they shut it down. But I thought so. We liked him. We didn't like him as well as the new administration didn't like him as well as the old administration. Huh?
That would be correct. Yeah.
Okay. Well, is he what size is he? Was he a big kid?
Kind of no.
He wasn't huge. No, he was
okay,
six
but he was
foot.
Bigger than a little. He was the bigger than the little tiny guy we drafted yesterday, right?
And he's taller on skates too, which helps.
They're about the same.
So he's only 5'9" because Rossi's like 4'6", isn't he?
Oh no, he grew last night.
Oh okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, he's up to 5'6" now. He grew. He looked incredible growth spurt overnight for Rossi.
All right. Well, we're optimistic about him, and that shocked me that we always write about these 18-year-olds like they're about to burst in the lineup, and there's about two of them that it actually happens with, right?
This is true.
Back in the old day of the Bellows and those guys, they would put them in the lineup, but now they have a tendency to go to Iowa and disappear. You know? So
you would hope that does not occur here, but yes, you're not wrong.
Good luck to them, but they got two second rounders, so is that good? I mean, it must be. I bet we're going to describe it as a deep draft. Is it a deep draft?
I think so.
Ooh, it's the NHL it's draft, the NHL, Pat. Though. I love the sport. I have no clue.
Pat, even the draft is random, Pat.
I have no clue if it's deep. I'm sure they'll say it's deep. Oh, man, we loved what we got.
So deep. Yeah, a lot of grinders.
Well, if you know, it would be bad to say. We're drafting all these guys and trading for them, but basically this draft sucks. You never really know that, so.
Pat, I think you'll appreciate this. Was it the NHL Network clip here I'm going to play? I think it was. A new way to describe a hockey player here.
The biggest thing about Marco Rossi, there's a Johnny Gaudreau component to his game, but he plays with a little bit of bite. He plays with a little bit of edge.
He plays with a little bit of bite. There it is.
Okay. Well, that's good. He scores the puck. I actually happened to turn over about the time they drafted him. I don't know why. I must have just been between innings or something. But this guy, who is that guy that was talking?
Pierre McGuire or Craig Button?
No, that must have been Craig somebody.
Craig Button was the other guy.
Yeah. Well, he didn't see a player he didn't love, right? They're all fantastic. Right. I mean,
that's the whole draft thing, Pat. You got to say that. Yeah, every league.
You attach an established great player to what they
could be.
What if
you said that? What if you said, Jerry, this kid is a bust waiting to happen.
Yeah, this guy's Charlie Coyle.
One of the greatest frauds in draft history. Look at his parents celebrating. They should be crying.
Yes, but in the NFL, which we know some of these guys, you will hear somebody say, "Ooh, man, I don't know about this one." You know, you hear that in the first couple, three rounds, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But in NHL, I've never heard anybody say, "This guy's a stiff." even when we drafted Link Getz, we were excited, right?
The missing Link. I love the missing Link. He was great. He'd fight anybody, anytime.
Well, the great thing about the missing Link was when you investigated his past, there were a few flaws there as far as underage bar fights and the like.
That's why it was the missing Link.
I don't think the Link is still with us, is he? I think he indeed demised young. I think he did, but I'm not sure. Anyway, Sodmore loved him, and that's all that counted.
Because he could fight, Sodmore. Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, so anyway.
Patrick, alive and well. 52.
I don't know what we overplayed more. Link's good. Good.
52, alive and kicking.
I don't know what we've overplayed more, the links or this, but I guess go ahead. We're still in the pandemic, I guess. So yeah. I guess we're going to give Big Bob a bunch of names. Unless it's a Minnesota kid, nobody's ever heard of them anyway.
Hey, Pat, Josh Donaldson was great on Twitter last night talking about a couple different things that were happening around these games. The one thing he said, well, he said a couple things, but the one thing I want to bring up with you is he was ripping shifts on Twitter saying it's killing pitchers, especially in the playoffs, and hitters are taking advantage of shifts. And the other contention he made was, you know, forget about some of the numbers, that it's preventing defenses from turning as many double plays, and he's anti-shift.
That is true. As far as double plays, I mean, the double play, which used to be, you know, in the second baseman turn, a double play was that's the reason Crew got moved and a bunch of other guys, because they couldn't turn the double play. And now it's certainly not as important as it used to be. He's right about that. You know what I've noticed? I think the shifts are even more dramatic this year, don't you? I mean, when they go right, you know, towards right field for the left-handed hitters, it's incredible how they're not leaving anybody on the left side of the infield. I mean, there's times when the only guy on the left side of the infield is 10 feet to the left of second base. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's 70, 80 feet there. And I don't know. Are they telling the hitter, go ahead and hit a single? We don't care. But I don't think it's killing them. I still think it causes more outs than it gives away. But, you know, if you're Barrios and the one run he gave up was, you know, just a ball that was a routine ball to shortstop and there was nobody standing there in that last game. Sometimes it's got to drive you crazy as a pitcher when somebody hits a routine ground ball and nobody's standing there.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, and I think you can give a guy credit when he beats the shift, mm-hmm. right? I mean, when he's okay, he hits it here to beat the shift, right? He's just trying to hit a little tapper. But those ground balls that the guy just hits your pitch and hits it where you want him to and there's nobody standing there, that's got to drive you crazy. But I disagree with him. I think that I don't know what they can do. It seemed like the top levels of Major League Baseball were more worried about it a year ago than they are now. I guess they're 2 years ago. They were talking about making so many players stay on the one side of the base and stuff like that. But that's not going to happen. And But I disagree with him. I haven't seen many pitchers get beat because of somebody beat the shift.
The other thing he tweeted, he was tweeting back and forth with Trevor Plouffe. So Plouffe tweeted, I like most umpires. I really do. This is in response to C.B. Buckner last night. He said, I like most umpires. I really do. But they aren't held accountable at all and have as much job protection as a Supreme Court justice. To which Donaldson said, yeah, it's embarrassing. It's tough to watch any game. I don't know why this is so hard to understand. This isn't high school where you can just say that pitch was too close to take. As a major league hitter, our job is to take close pitches that are out of the zone. Your thoughts?
Well, I think we could all agree that the one that was nose high,
yes,
he took that got the kid from Tampa. Now, I was rooting mightily for Tampa, right? But that pitch that Fairbanks threw that was a foot high, and he missed it. And it was unbelievable. And, of course, they know that if they scream at him, redneck CB will throw him out of the game. But that whole Cubs dugout, I mean, that Yankees dugout was just going insane, as well they should have, because if that kid hadn't gotten that pitch, he wasn't going to get that out, and then the bases would have been loaded with nobody out. And he was hyperventilating. Now, you got a live arm, I'll say that. He throws an easy 100 after two Tommy John. But that was basically a game-changing strike call by Buckner on a pitch that was not even remotely in the strike zone.
It was Eric Gregg. That's as close to Eric Gregg as I swear to God in a playoff game I've seen. Just one call, but it was still that close.
Well, except Eric, it would have been a foot and a half outside. That was a difference. Yeah. So Eric's problem was that Lebon's curveball would not ever reach the left-handed batter's box line, and he'd still call it a strike. It'd start breaking when it got to the left-handed batter's box line and then end up further over in the box, and Eric would call that a strike. This was just he just missed a high pitch, and I have no idea why, especially when the kid's throwing a ball all over the ballpark. What you always hear in that situation and when it's close is, well, he's been so erratic, the umpire just, is not going to give him a break if he doesn't prove he can throw it anywhere near.
I'm watching some of these clips from last night. Again, the one that was outside.
It's incredible.
It was runners on second and third. And you could tell, like, the pitch comes in, the catcher has to stab outside to get it, and he's set up outside, the catcher is, and he's reaching outside to grab the pitch even further. And you can tell, like, CB, the wheels are turning for like a half second, and he just kind of like, ah, it's a strike.
Yeah, I missed that one. When was that? Earlier in the game?
This was
back and forth.
This one was in the third inning. J.A. Happ was on the mound, and
he gave it to Happ, who, by the way, needed it. What kind of idiocy was that to start that slop ball and left? That's not the best he's got, is it?
For Boone, no. No.
Boone, what?
I have
what
no idea what he was thinking.
And
Happ basically said the same thing.
Yeah, Happ's okay, like, I don't know.
Happ's like, I don't know. I'm terrible. Ask him.
I got a question for you guys, though. I'm thinking about this, and it might be something to write if they hang in there. Are the Tampa Bay Rays the greatest organization for resources used of any in American sports, in American pro sports?
The Oakland A's would probably argue that they are.
Oakland is close, but Tampa Bay turns it over even more than they do.
Yep.
Wouldn't you say? I mean,
and Tampa Bay is winning. Tampa Bay has multiple 90, they have like seven 90-win seasons in that division against the Yankees and Red Sox.
Yes, and last night they struck out 18 with a variety of pitches. They set a new postseason record for most strikeouts in a 9-inning game with a bunch of guys, it's just incredible.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
I
think you're exactly right.
It's amazing, and there's five of them, and they almost didn't get to the finish line, but they use these five guys. They don't have a closer. What they say, 12 different guys have saves for them.
Yeah, which is how you should do it. That's
just astounding.
If you can do it that way, you should do it that way. And Nick Anderson would be the Twins' best relief pitcher.
Can we talk about that one, Patrick?
I'll just tell you, I happen to be writing a Kinsler column. I talked to him last night. And I'm also writing about the guys that finish games in the, the former Twin types finished playoff series. Five of them, five out of the eight, were, if you count Nick Anderson, who should have been with the Twins. But last year, 65 innings, 110 strikeouts for Anderson. And this year, where's the numbers? 26 strikeouts and 16 in the third innings. This year, ERA 0.55.
Yeah.
Now he only pitched 16 in the third innings. Last year, that ERA was all the way up there to 1.85, I believe. It's unbelievable what Brian Shales they received for him. Who's out of baseball, the best I can tell. An infielder, a non-prospect infielder, who's he hit one. 2 years ago, he hit 145 in Fort Myers, and now he's out of baseball. That's what they traded Nick Anderson for. So that's one that's kind of a bad mark on the fellow.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It's an odd blemish,
if Terry
for sure.
Had made that trade, we would be ripping him.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, the Seth Stolz guys of the world were all over Nick Anderson, they were saying, hey, this guy's great. They got a key. Hey, look out for Nick Anderson next year. And all, the guys who really pound the minor leagues. And then, boop, they said they couldn't, they didn't have room for him on the 40, man. You know what I say? Give me a pencil.
Yep.
That's the Royce.
I can get you six spots. I can, let's go back and look at that. I think one of the guys they kept instead of him was Dietrich Enns, I believe.
Oof.
There's Remember your pencil.
That was, he was part of the Yankees trade with Zach Littell came over, right?
Tubby lefty that I think I'd have to look it up who that 40 man was when they couldn't keep Nick Anderson. And by the way, you guys have had him. You guys have talked to him, right?
Doogie has him on the scoop all the time.
Yeah, he's the co-host, basically.
He is one of the most wonderfully weird human beings I've ever been around in my life. I did a column on him this spring, and I said, boy, it must have been a thrill to, get traded from Miami as bad as they were and get up here to Tampa. They were contending. He said, I didn't know they were in contention until I heard him talking about it in the clubhouse. He said, I didn't spend a lot of time looking at the standings in Miami. So he basically got traded across state and didn't know if the Rays were in first place or last place. I wish I'd kept the notes from there. He's telling me about this car he drove. That's the other thing. This car he drove down to Florida from Minnesota is it's a miracle that he made it. I didn't get that column, but I can't remember what it was. But it was some like 9-year-old hunk of crap that he drove down here in a truck, and maybe he's got himself a new truck now. I don't know.
I'm sure he can afford it at this point.
You know, he was pitching in 2015 and 16 for the Twin City Shark in the amateur ball in the Minneapolis suburbs.
No.
And he was in the front. He was in the Frontier League 2 years, and his ERA was like 6 or 7. And then he got re-signed. Somebody saw him, and he ended up back in the Frontier League. And Billy Miles saw him in a Frontier League All-Star game and got the Twins to sign. So,
well, Pat,
Billy can find those guys. Randy Dobnik and guys like that. So
yeah. Well, we will expect on Friday a full breakdown of the Minnesota Wild's entire draft from you. So study up.
That's right. Yeah. I get very worked up about the NFL draft.
Link Gates, man. Link Gates. Let's just talk Link Gates.
We've had two more picks since we've started.
Yeah, they took a center at 37.
Yeah, another Russian.
Any Minnesotan? Another Russian?
Another Russian named Murat Kuznetsov. I have no idea.
Murat Kuznetsov.
Poor Bob Kurtz.
And then Ryan O'Rourke, not to be confused with the former Twins reliever, but a defenseman by the name of Ryan O'Rourke.
I think we're killing it on his draft. I think we're killing it, man.
Sounds good to me.
And Billy, we trust.
I know my pucks, too. Goodbye.
All right, see you, Pat. All right, you can find more Royce every Monday. Royce Unchained, the podcast. Anywhere you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and the all-new ScoreNorth.com. All right, we will have more on these Wild moves and draft picks tomorrow once we can sort of wrap our heads around everything. And a scoop session, inside information about your favorite local sports teams tomorrow as well. See you guys.